Amen. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, just to gather and to worship with God, worship with one another. This morning, I want to look at truth. And in John chapter 8, 31 to 32, it says, the Jews had believed him. And Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is truth? We live in an age where we have an internet. I get information any time of the day. Let's check the internet out. What is truth? It comes up with a whole bunch of listing of stuff. One is truth social. So I thought, well, that should probably be pretty good. You look at truth social. Well, what I found is it's more of opinions. And most of it's not true. And so we'll throw that one out. And I think of myself even. I have a lot of opinions that are not true. Maybe based on what I heard, maybe based on what I hope in humanity, maybe based on lack of knowledge, whatever it is. But we all have opinions. And even though a lot of my opinions are not true, and just so we're on the same table here, neither are yours. We have opinions that we base on just about everything in life. And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with opinions, but we should also keep them in mind of where they come from. We live in a society that celebrates a variety of lifestyles. Anything that you want, anything that people come to their own conclusion that this is good and this is what I want to do, their opinions based on their own definition of what they've heard or what they think. And I remember watching Border Crossing, a show on TV, and they had a guy in there one time, and he came and he had a tail fastened to him. And the security or the customs agent said, what's with the tail? And he says, well, I associate as a cat. And I think, okay, this isn't normal. It's living a lie. And there is no way that in any way, shape, form, this is normal. Because we feel it, because we dream it, doesn't make it real, doesn't make it correct, doesn't make it right. The other thing I spend some time doing is watching alien shows. Okay, not the movies. I stay away from them. I have no interest in them at all. But the ones that I watch, well, I have watched some, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, those ones I'll watch, but that's about it. The ones I watch are the documentaries on aliens, and they're trying to look at how our world, the things that are in our world, pyramids, where did pyramids come from? How did they build the pyramids? And they're always looking to aliens, that the aliens are the ones that have produced this. The particular one that I watched not too long ago is on how did man's knowledge advance in the last 200 years, we'll say. We've changed so much. We've advanced so much with technology. We've advanced so much with the knowledge and the things that we know and understand. How did we get there? And their story was that they've been abducted, and they picked on people like Leonardo, great name. But they picked on him and said, okay, how did he come up with the stuff he did? Way before his time, he had drawings of helicopters, he had machine guns, he had all kinds of things that were unknown at that time. And their story was that aliens had abducted him, taken him up, taught him all this stuff, sent him back to Earth so people could speed up the process here. But what I find really interesting about these programs, nearly every one of them quotes scripture. And in this particular one, they quoted out of scripture, Enoch, he was taken up and was no more. And so if God took somebody out, aliens could take someone out. And what really amazes me is that when they're presenting their cases and doing all of this, even though they quote scripture and have it all laid out, part of their plan, when it comes down to the crunch, they could believe in aliens, but they can't believe in God. At that point, they sort of make a shift and move off, and at their center of focus then is on what aliens can do. Do I believe in aliens? Probably not. My limited knowledge, what I base it on. Two things I've heard. We had a speaker when I was at college, and about the only thing I remember that the guy had said, he had traveled the world talking to people that have seen flying saucers, have been abducted by flying saucers, and whatever he's seen. He's, like I say, traveled everywhere. And his conclusion that he said, and the only thing I remember is his conclusion was that he said, everybody that was abducted by helicopter or by flying saucers had been involved in some sort of witchcraft, the occult or whatever. He said lots of Christians that he met had seen flying saucers, but they'd never been abducted. So that was his only conclusion that he had. And so whether they're there, I'm going to say no. I guess my thought is that beware, Satan could produce anything to make us believe. And I think what happens is, and you think back before we had the knowledge of our nation that we do, or our country, or our planet as we do, people, when they saw things, what did they see? Falling star, what was that to somebody way back? Look at it, oh, it's a flying saucer. And, you know, 90% of the people all move over and, yeah, I see it. And the other 10% are going, looking at it, going, well, how do you know it's a flying saucer? Maybe it's falling debris from the future, from satellites. But there's the people, we're very easily moved to one side or another. People are very easily got onto things. So if I can't find truth on the internet, where do we go? Winston Churchill once stated, he said, men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and quickly move on. Is truth an absolute? Does it depend on circumstances that we're in? Or is it just merely a philosophical argument? In 2017, two terms came out. If you can remember back, one was fake news. It was probably a term heard before, but now it is everywhere. And at 2017, it became very popular. Shortly followed after that was fact check. Does anybody fact check anything? How often do we fact check our opinions? So where do we turn to fact check our opinions? Pastor Rob this morning held up the Bible and said, this is where we get our information from. This is where we get our knowledge from. This is where we get our understanding of what happened or who God is. And if you look at our Bible that we have, it has more manuscripts than any other book on this planet that point to and lead to the qualifications of this word, that it is true, it is real, it hasn't changed. The events in it have happened. And it also, that this book in back in 1946 to 56, roughly in that time, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And at the time, there was talk in 1950s, an incredible year, by the way. Make sure you look back at it. Things happened that year that you would not believe. It was just phenomenal. I'll share those with you later another time. But anyways, Dead Sea Scrolls came out, and Scott, everybody at that point said, okay, now we'll find out how accurate the Scriptures is. What they found was that the Dead Sea Scrolls just confirmed everything that was written in Scripture. It had been copied those many years after and followed through. It hasn't changed at all. Our translations definitely changed some of the wording in it, but the content is still there. Thousands or hundreds of prophecies have been predicted throughout Scripture. God's Word has stuff that has happened in our society, it's happened in this world, and they've come to pass. Saw a documentary, some scholars were discussing what's happening in our world today, where we are in the time of whether Christ returns or not. And one of the things they said is that all the prophecies that had to take place before Christ comes have taken place. Now, there's a lot more prophecies still in Scripture to take place, but a lot of them, do they come before? Do they come after Christ returns? There's things that are still going to happen. And one of the things that, interesting enough, an argument that's always been around, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? Are you coming before the tribulation or after the tribulation or somewhere during the middle? So for me, from what I know of Scripture, and because I'm a coward, I don't want to go through the tribulation, so I'm pre. I'm going first, so... But anyways, that's where I'm at. So anyways, but there's all kinds of things like that in Scripture that they're there. And I think you look at all these prophecies that take place, and where does our world to turn to when things transpire in our world? Nostradamus, they look back at him and say, well, what a great guy. He knew all this stuff. I'm not sure. Maybe aliens gave him information. I'm not going there. But anyways, but a warning when it comes to our word. Careful of your opinion of the word. Know God's word entirely. Study God's word, memorize God's word. Read his Bible, spend time in this book. This book is our life. This book gives meaning to life. And so remember to take the time. When I talk of time, I ran into a small quote this last few weeks, and it says, we talk about giving God 10%. 10% of our tithes, 10% of our time. You realize that 10% of your time is 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. We all match up, right? Good to hear. John chapter 18, verse 37. It says, "You are king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, he said, "You say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify of the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. For this reason I came into the world, not to bear witness to the truth, but I am the truth." The truth comes, and what he said there was, he said, and I think Pilate missed this, truth comes from outside this world. So when we look at our world, we look at God. God is not part of this universe. God is the creator of this universe. He's outside this universe. He came to this, to our planet, that we might have life, that we might know the truth, understand the truth, and hear the truth. For all of us, truth is unchanging. It's absolute. It doesn't change with what man puts a definition on or a term on. It doesn't change when they decide that they're going to change the way we go do things. The truth still lies within God's word, lies within God. Verse 38, Pilate said, "What is the truth?" And that's where I think he missed Christ's comment, didn't hear it, that he's not from this earth. He is the truth. And so Pilate at that point, unfortunately for him anyways, he washed his hands of the thing, walked away. He said, "I find no wrong in this man, but, you know, have your way." And Jesus said that he came from outside the world to bring truth to us. I see that, and you look at things and you look at the way our world, especially with in the nature of aliens, that when it comes time, it talks about the rapture and Christians being taken out of this world, how simple it is going to be for them at that point just to explain it away. Aliens came, they took them, you know, we're at war with aliens. But according to Scripture, truth is a reflection of God's nature. It's a reflection of God's self-revelation. God is the creator of everything, our stars, our heavens, our earth, our knowledge, our bodies. That's way out of shape. But God is our creator. He created everything, everything that we know, everything that we see, everything that we hear. God is the creator. God is the source of all truth. He is the judge, he is the author, and he is the standard in which truth stands on. The Bible is written, word of God's truth. And you question, where would we be today without God's word? If we didn't have the Bible, we'd be gathered here and it would be the guy with the greatest opinion has a say, because we have no way of fact-checking what is true, what is not. We read out of Scripture every day when we have every month when we have communion. It's always the same words. It is always the same. It doesn't change. God's word never changes. Romans 1, 18 to 21 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since many have known God, it is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so, that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Truth is whatever is in accordance with God's word. In contrast, falsehood and anything that goes against God's reality. Our life should be a reflection of God. We should be an ambassador for God. In John 14:6, Jesus answered, he said, "I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We can say that truth in the eyes of Jesus is being and doing God's will in a very consistent and obedient way. In John, Jesus said, in fact, speaking and bringing the truth isn't something that you get out of a test tube. Tube isn't something that has a mathematical formula that you could figure out. Truth doesn't come from someone that's been abducted. Truth doesn't come from somebody that's made it up. Truth isn't held by lawyers, doctors, philosophers. They don't own it. Truth is something that God has given, God has brought to this earth. It's a gift from God. Jesus' kingdom, in fact, comes from elsewhere, but is meant to have a residency here on this earth through Christians. That was God's plan for all of man, that man would serve God, that man would learn to worship God. And we cannot separate the truth from reality. We cannot separate truth from the person. We cannot separate truth from God. God is truth. His inspired teachings and word make up truth. The Bible that we have is our lifeline to knowing God. His truth is very accurately recorded. His truth is there that we might have life. Truth is living and dwelling in Christ. Can we see truth in our world today? What does Christianity represent to our world today? Galatians 5:22 talks about love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that truth brings to this world. Unfortunately, today, we're in the middle of an election, getting ready for an election. We don't find a lot of truth in the things that are being said. And I think out of it, number one, we need to get out and vote. Vote rightly, please. The only thing I'm going to say about it is, have you prayed about this election? Have you prayed that God would put in the person that he wants in this country? That's our responsibility as Christians, that we take that time. Because Christianity in our world presents a wholeness. It presents a sense of justice. It brings hope. It brings peace. It brings a loving attitude. So let us, as Christians, make sure we take the time to spend and pray that God has his way. Look around the church today. Why are you here? We're all here we make up many different groups, lifestyles, hair color, some with no hair. But the way we dress, the way we act, the things that we like, the things that we enjoy. Are you here because God has made a radical change in your life? Or are you here because you want to looking for a wife? Are you changed? You're here. Whatever the reason that you're here for the right reason. God has you here for a reason. And back in the 80s, we had a pastor here. And actually, since he showed a picture, it was the guy in the picture. His story is that when he was in grade 12, he saw this girl that he thought was really cute, very hot. So she was in this group, he was in that group. How do you get together? And so anyways, he thought, well, I got to do something to figure out how to get together with this girl. She was a Christian, he was not. So he found out somewhere along the line that she went to church. So hey, I'll go to church, I'll get to meet this girl. Sure enough, he met the girl, he married the girl, and better than that, while he was at church, talk about the radical change that God could do in people's lives. He found God, got saved, became a pastor, and today, now you know the rest of the story. But what a change, just for going to church. He found out what God was all about. Jesus spoke often about truth, especially through the Gospel of John. And we must remember that Jesus never spoke a truth in the abstract, as something that stands alone. He always spoke of truth in relationship to God and himself. Jesus was sent to be an example to each one of us about the truth. And that, I say, he can make a radical change in each one and every one of our lives. We should be able to examine the pages of God's word to learn what the truth is. Just about any subject of importance or relevance. The Bible contains answers to the questions of why we were born. Why are we here? What is our future? What is our potential? Is there a God, and who is he? If you abide in his word, Jesus said, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Many people believe in God, but not all have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. It goes beyond just knowing that there is a God, or you think there is a God. But it goes on to where we have to accept Christ into our personal life and abide in his way and in his word, following his precepts. We must imitate Christ in our walk, in our life. And so if we do, if we follow his truth, we work on his truth, it says we will be free from sin. We'll be free from a sinful nature. We'll be free from willful sin. We will have the choice. He's the way, the truth, and his life. Jesus washed his disciples' feet, including Judas's, knowing that that was a guy that was going to betray him. Jesus ate with sinners. He talked with anybody on the street. Jesus loved whoever he talked to, whoever he met. He met with the unclean. He met with those that didn't know him. Jesus set an example for each one of us of how we should respond to people, how we should connect with people. Pilate missed that whole part of where Jesus said that he was not from this world. Because in there, we find what the cross is all about in John. We find out what it did for us. This morning, we celebrated and remembered that Christ died for each one of us. He set us free. Now we'll have eternal life with him. Years ago, I remember we had a group home running. I remember talking to one of the psychiatrists, and we got chatting about, he had chatted with some of the boys that day, and he said, yeah, today I was just testing to see what they knew about fiction or reality. And he said, so he went through a whole series of names. So he went through Superman, and the guy goes, no, he's a comic book thing, yeah. So he went through wrestlers, no, they're real. Watch them on TV, they're real. And so at the end he said, well, what about Jesus Christ? And he said, the kid pondered for a little bit, and then I think he's real, and I believe he's real. And he goes, why do you believe that? And so he said, well, we used to take the kids to church once in a while, take them to youth group and that stuff. He said, I've gone to church with Len, and they talk about Jesus all the time, what a great guy he is, and what he's done for them, and how he's helped them, and they sing about him, and they talk about him. So he's got to be real, but I haven't met him yet. I just believe. So it's important that we go beyond just accepting Christ or believing Christ. We need to get in and accept Christ as our personal Savior. Psalms 119:6, the psalmist similarly wrote, he said, the entirety of your word is truth. Our Bible is our fact check. God left his word here so that we had a basis on which to help ground ourselves, so that we wouldn't be wandering off every drift or whiff of information or whatever the greatest thing is at the time. We wouldn't be following after it. The world leads us to believe that the truth is whatever you want it to be. It's not true. AI, great AI, we're in a new age. Yes, we got something new. There were a bit of an interview with somebody on regards to the AI. They have an AI platform out there that you could develop, and they used the word Replica. Not replica, but Replica. It's not in a dictionary, so don't look it up. I'm assuming you don't write a platform, you can call it whatever you want. And so you could create a person that you could talk to. And so you could go on there and create whatever you want them to do. And I remember when they were talking about it on the show, they said, so basically this becomes somebody you could confide in, somebody you could talk to. They're not going to gossip. They're not going to share it with anybody else, on and on and on. A few sentences later, they did say that Russia and China are sort of monitoring these stations. But maybe they swore to no gossip. I don't know. Hey, not going there. But anyways, so I went online. So what's this all about? So I went online, checked it out. And yeah, you could sign in. So I thought, well, let's try to see what happens. So I typed in, how old are you? Start with a bunch of questions. How old are you? What would you like this person to be? Would you like this person to be encouraging, argumentative? And they go through a whole bunch of stuff, like this, and so pick all these stuff. And they had some really weird questions in there. They had a few statements, you believe this, and so whatever. And you could actually, there was even a spiritual section there. You want this person to be able to talk with you in spirits. And I guess these people will remember your conversations. So when you open them up, whenever you go in to talk to them. And they'll greet you by your name and ask how you're doing, where you're at work today. You know, they'll carry on a conversation with you. Plus, you could get anything else out of you want. So anyways, it has a little bar on there how far you're getting almost at the end. So they said, would you like to speak for male or female? So I said, female. I can talk to a female. And so anyways, they asked, what would you like this person to look like? And they had anime, and they had a whole bunch of serious stuff. And the only one that sort of looked normal was retro wife, whatever a retro wife is. But anyways, so I click it again, poof, this lady pops up. And, well, this lady looked like she was 40, maybe 45. And I'm thinking, I punched my age in well beyond that. And she was dressed like she was out of the 80s. And so I thought, well, two things. First of all, my mirror has been lying to me all these years. I look 40. And so, but anyways, go to the next page. How do you want to pay? What? It was $1.40 a day. I can't remember what it was, a month or a year. I don't want to pay. So that's gone. But anyways, our world has lost it. People don't know where to turn to. People don't know where to look. People don't realize that there's a God out there that wants to talk to you. There's a God out there that wants to hear your heart, whether they be your gains or losses. God wants to hear us. And our world has veered drastically off that. I don't know whether it's because the people don't know or they don't want to know. But as Christians, that's our responsibility. Offer this hope to other people. We don't need to be there. And going back to the end of that little show on the news report, they had a lady on there, and she was in distraught crying because she lost, I don't know, her feed, lost something. She wasn't able to talk to this person anymore. And I think, have we gone that low? Have we lost that much? For me, my relationship with God is paramount. I can take everything and everything to God, whatever it is. We need to be able to talk to God at all times. And God is there. God wants to hear from us. God wants to talk with us. Does God answer all my prayers? Yes. With a solution that make me happy? No. Actually, a lot of times I find that what God does, I'll talk to him when I see him face to face. Quite often he reminds me how I ended up where I got myself. And I think, now I know, God is just trying to help me along the way that I don't end up there again. Figure it out. Work your way through it. But what I do know is that God offers me hope. God offers me comfort. God always finds a way out for me. God is always there for me. He always lifts me up and encourages me. And he shows me how to get through my struggles. Believing in the truth and knowing the truth are two separate things. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to know God. It's all about our relationship with him. We have to remember that the Word of God is our only foundation that we have. When we set our feet on the solid Word of God's Word, we will find peace, we'll find hope, we'll find encouragement, we'll find life. And if you don't know Christ here this morning, don't leave without entering into a relationship with God. God is there. If you find yourself in a difficult time this morning, don't leave without bringing it to God. If you find yourself with questions that you haven't got answers for, seek out God's face. Those answers will come. God will provide those answers for you. So as our musicians come this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning that the truth that we have is in God's Word. God is the only truth. So whatever man has concocted up, whatever man has said, whatever man has dreamed, whatever, it's not truth. And so let me encourage you as we, you know, as we live out our days before God, that we look to God, we trust God, we learn to hear God's voice. God is always wanting to hear and communicate with us. Not Phil Can. I got lots of cans. Never mind. There was a gentleman that wrote a book called Finding Truth. And at the end of one of his courses in the middle of his Bible study, he had Finding the Identity and Purpose of a Person. And one of the things, he wrote up a chart, and he had all the verses to back it up, so the verses are all there. But he says, we as people find ourselves dead in sin, but alive in Christ. We're a slave to sin, but in Christ we're free from sin. We're an orphan, and in Christ we're a son and daughter. We're unclean, in Christ we're clean. In debt, we are bought by a price. In eternal death, we now have eternal life. Peace in your life. Regardless of what is happening in your life, Christ could find peace. Whatever is happening in our world, people today with what's going on in our politics, people are afraid. Don't have to be afraid. We know that God is in control. God has everything under control. God will find, you could, during these times, we could find peace if we look to Christ. And it comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, there's people on the sides that will pray. And this morning, I pray that if you have questions that you want answered, there's people here that will answer them for you. Don't go without getting your answer or talking with somebody. Let me encourage you that this morning. Let me encourage you through this week. Spend some time in God's Word. Set your goal in 2 hours and 25 minutes. Get that full time in there. But spend that time. One of the things, we just finished up our Bible study. And out of it, it's great to get together with other Christians and to discover God's Word and how it's affected those people in their life. And what it's done, and their stories of events that took place in their life, what God has done, how God has brought them through things, or how God has healed things, or they've seen miracles take place. It's incredible to get together. That's a good thing about gathering together with Christians here. We could get together with people that we'd never cross in our paths in this world, but we've gathered in one place because we have one common thing. We all love God. We're here to see God. We're here to find out who God is and how God works in my life. But the other thing that was really, I find, beneficial, the group we had this time, might have some reflection on my age, I'm not sure. It was a much different group than we usually have, and pretty well everybody there was 60 years old in that bracket, except one gentleman came who brought our average age down to 45. Poof! He made us feel good. He made us feel young. And so it was a good group. But what I found was it's great to get together and to learn about other people. Learn their stories, who they are. Have fellowship one with another. And so let me encourage you. The truth is in God's Word. God is the truth. He's not of this world, but he came to this world to give us life. So let's pray. Father, again, we're so grateful for your Word this morning. Father, just for what you've given me, what you've given this world, Father, and have a life. That we could find happiness, peace, that we could find hope and a future. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your Son. I just pray this morning that you be with each one of us this week. Father, just help us to make that time to be in your Word, to hear from you, to be guided from you. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. So good.